The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge or arbiter?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a beautiful, bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A sixth grade teacher posed the following mathematical question to her students. A wealthy man dies and leaves $10 million. One-fifth is to go to his wife. One-fifth is to go to his son. One-sixth is to go to his nephew. The rest is to go to charity. Now, what does each one get? After a long silence, a little fellow raised his hand and in complete sincerity said, "A very good lawyer." Maybe he's right. Most of us are quite serious when it comes to money matters. Have you ever noticed that so many things in life have warnings on them? We live in the world of protection and litigation. Some of the funniest warnings that I've seen was a box of sleeping pills with the warning, "Caution, may cause drowsiness." There was also a fishing lure that said, "Harmful if swallowed." And finally, a washing machine telling you that you cannot put people in to be washed. If we go to a junkyard today, you will see it packed with the items people think they couldn't live without. They skimped, they saved, they carried it home and looked after it. But now it doesn't work, or it was replaced by the next big thing. Perhaps money should have a health warning on it. Beware, you can never have enough of this. It may possibly harm your health, and you cannot take it with you. Don't get me wrong. We do need money to live, to have food, to have somewhere to live, even to get an education and a job. It only becomes an issue when there is a lack of balance or focus. In today's parable, Jesus did not say that the man was evil. Jesus said he was a fool, and that doesn't make for easy listening. We'd say he was obviously a successful businessman. We admire abundance. But Jesus said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. Why would Jesus call him a fool? It's not because he had saved stuff up. When Jesus was at the meal with the 5,000, with the two loaves and the two fish and the five barley loaves, remember he was into saving too. There was 12 baskets of scraps collected up so that nothing would be lost. So the man is criticized not because he is wealthy. Jesus called him a fool because of his attitude towards the wealth. There's a story once told of a man who traveled to a certain primitive land with the intent of becoming rich. This new primitive land didn't use money as we use it, but used precious shells and stones collected from the beach. So he set about accumulating a large selection of shells and beads, which the natives were using for money, and he accumulated more of this kind of wealth than anyone else on that primitive island. Everyone admired his financial wisdom. Then he came home to England, and he discovered that he was a beggar. For even though he had a shipload of what was considered wealth on the primitive island, the shells and beads were of no use to him back in the world that honored a different currency. So what might we draw from that little story? Perhaps we could be in the same situation. It's important to know the currency that you are collecting. You might be rich here, but are you rich in the eyes of God? Did you know that in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses deals with the use or the abuse of money? 16 of the 34 parables used by Jesus specifically and directly deals with money. There are over 500 verses in the Bible that deal with prayer, 2,500 verses that deal with money. So no one who seriously follows Jesus in life can avoid the topic. Jesus preaches this parable with the admission, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Life, of course, being eternal life. It is true, of course, life isn't consisting of an abundance of possessions. Elizabeth McKee said something recently that put things in perspective for me. She said that if we get a rise here, we smile, we go out for drinks, we celebrate. Then she contrasts this celebration to the lives of the people in Mali in West Africa. In Mali, she said, if a child lives to its first birthday, they celebrate by giving that child a name. They don't name their children before then because there's such a high mortality rate. Families that have children over 5 years old are considered to be wealthy. Between disease and high food shortages, the chances of multiple children living over the age of five is very rare. Here, she says, you can find the true meaning of wealth. We think of it for a moment. If you have children over 5 years old, you are wealthy and rich. How much would you take for the health of your child? If you have people who love you and you're healthy and they're healthy, you're rich. I don't care what the balance sheet says. If you have enough to eat, clothes to wear, a home to shelter from the heat or the cold, and even if you had a little extra to share, then you are very rich. In New Testament times, the Romans had a proverb: money is like sea water. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. Jesus never said, take up your cross and I will make you rich. I will give you financial security. Instead, he told us to follow him, serve him, and any of our brothers and sisters who need our help. In the Old Testament, large families were considered to be wealthy. Wealth was considered to be a blessing from God. Then you might remember the book of Job, who was wealthy, had a big farm, big family, all was taken from him. And he continuously asked God why he deserved poverty. We see in many of our televangelists today, preachers who seem to constantly fundraise, attracting all kinds of money and gifts. The money usually benefits them and no one else. But this is not Jesus's way. This is not the Christian way. This is the vanity of vanities we heard of in the first reading. Jesus was not caught up with the illusion of success. The problem was for the man in today's parable that he thought he had made it, only to discover that he'd been seeking the wrong things in life. At best, God was on the periphery, on the margins. The central focus was on success and possessions. He was caught up in the trap of giving life to attractive distractions in this world. He neglected the world to come. The pursuit of possessions is trivial when compared to striving after eternal life, the blessings that only God can give. That's why the rich farmer was pitiful. That's why he was foolish. Lord, help us to keep a healthy balance in life. We need money to live. Indeed, your church needs your ongoing support as well. But it's a means to an end. The end is not to be wealthy, but to have eternal life. Lord, keep us on the path that leads to eternal life.